disruptors.
Julia Child presents the Chicken Sisters. Miss Broiler, Miss Fryer, Miss Roaster, Miss Caponette, Miss Stewart, and old Madam Hen. But we're spotlighting Miss Roaster of the Year. We're roasting Miss Chicken today on The French Chef.
Well, long before Jamie Oliver, Rachel Ray, Anthony Bourdain, there was the original celebrity chef, Julia Child. With her warbly voice and unflagging good humor, she was an iconic TV presence from the 1960s onward. As you heard there, she introduced French cuisine to North America, teaching us all new ways to cook in our own homes. Julia Child died in 2004. She was 92 years old. But her legacy lives on because she forever changed the way we think about food. She was a disruptor, and as part of our project, The Disruptors, we're looking at her life and legacy, and we're starting in her kitchen. Julia Child's kitchen is a popular display at the National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C., and Paula Johnson curates food history collections there.
I'm Julia Child.
Well, this is actually Julia Child's home kitchen from her home in Cambridge, Massachusetts. This was the design that Julia and her husband Paul settled on when they settled in the house in 1961. By the time they got to Cambridge, this was their 12th kitchen. And so they knew exactly what they wanted. They knew what Julia needed to do her cooking. And so they designed it to suit her. And so, for example, the countertops are a couple inches taller than ordinary because, of course, she was 6'3", and having a taller countertop, she didn't have to stoop over. This kitchen, when you look at it at first, it seems pretty simple. It seems sort of small. And, you know, the cabinetry is very simply painted. But if you look closer, you can see that this is a serious workspace. You can see some of the pegboard has outlines around the pans and the pots. And that is, again, to make sure that everything is put away properly. Things are categorized. You have the pots and pans that are used on the range are very close at hand. You have the knives that are placed on magnetic strips on both sides of the sink. She was a self-avowed gadget freak, knife freak. She loved to try new tools, new equipment. She did have, many fish scalers. I don't know how many fish scalers one person needs, but she had quite a few. She also basically said everybody needs, you know, at least three knives, but you can see she has many more than that because she, again, collected knives to suit different tasks.
This is Julia Child. Bon appétit!
Julia enjoyed cooking for her friends and family. As she said, the kitchen is the beating heart of the household. And it would have been her desire for everybody who sees this to feel the same way about their own kitchens.
Paula Johnson curates food history collections at the National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. Alex Prudhomme is the author of The French Chef in America, which chronicles how Julia Child remade herself after her initial success with the book Mastering the Art of French Cuisine. He also happens to be Julia Child's grandnephew, and he's in our New York City studio. Hello.
Hello there.
Did you ever have a chance to be in that kitchen in her home and cook with her?
Oh, many times. And for me, it's odd to go back to the Smithsonian and see the kitchen behind plexiglass because I did spend a lot of time there and I associate it with delicious aromas and fantastic creations on the old Garland stove in the corner. So when I see it, I want to just walk through that plexiglass and sit down, have a glass of wine, and see what's cooking.
Your fingerprints are probably still somewhere in that kitchen.
Actually, the chewing gum that my sisters and I surreptitiously put under the kitchen table may still be there.
Well, what was she like? How does she compare with the person we saw on television?
Well, the Julia that you saw on television was actually the real Julia, the person that I knew. I think it's slightly amplified for TV. She was a great ham, as she put it. She loved to perform, but she was very genuine.
Tell me about the moment she decided she wanted to dedicate her life to learning about French food.
Well, I can give you the precise moment. It was at lunch on November 3rd, 1948. She had never been to France before. Her husband, Paul, brought her to France because he was posted to the U.S. Embassy. And they took the SS America across the Atlantic through a terrible storm, landed in Le Havre, and drove to Paris. And along the way, they stopped in Rouen and went to La Couronne, the Crown, which is the oldest restaurant in France, and had lunch. And it was a lunch of sole meuniere, which is sole in a sputtering butter sauce, with wine, which Julia had never had at lunch before, and salad, and lovely café filtre at the end. And Julia was transported by her first French meal, and she said, it was the meal that changed my life. And she dedicated the rest of her life to cooking and teaching cookery and writing and talking about it. Her first cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, is published in 1961. She gets on television first in 1962 and then starts to perform as the French chef in 1963. And then she was off and running.
What made her want to launch a new career at that stage in life when many people think about winding down?
Well, she was a very dynamic person. She had this book, she wanted to promote it, and she had this great joie de vivre, and she wanted to share her excitement about food, the love of France and its culinary tradition to her fellow Americans. And so she did. I don't think she thought strategically too much about her career. She was very much of an instinctual person. She went by her gut, if you will. And it just felt like the right thing to do. And the other thing is, they didn't have children. They had tried, but as she said, it didn't take. And when I pushed her on it, she said, well, you know, it just didn't take for us. And I said, well, what about in vitro? Nope. What about adoption? Nope. She just didn't want to talk about that. But later on, she did say to me, you know, had I had children, I probably would not have had my career.
Mm.
I would have dedicated myself to my kids.
Let's take us back to her early days as a chef. So the Mastering the Art of French Cooking is published in 61, right?
Correct, yeah.
And then her first episode of the French Chef cooking show comes 2 years later?
Yeah, 63. She gets on television for the first time when she's invited on a show called What I've Been Reading in Boston. It was at the local PBS station, WGBH. And she was invited to come talk about the cookbook. So, but Julia being Julia, she didn't just bring the book. She brought a hot plate and a frying pan and some eggs and lots of butter and proceeded to make an omelet in the French way. And in fact, was so intent on making the omelet that she forgot to mention the title of her book. But the good news is that all 27 people who were watching the show wrote in and said, we want more of that tall lady cooking. The honchos at WGBH sort of looked at each other and said, maybe a cooking show with this Julia Child person might work out. And so they did three pilot shows, each one of which was slightly better than the last. They had more and more mail coming in. And so in 1963, they started up The French Chef.
Okay, well, we have a montage of a few episodes. Let's listen.
Welcome to The French Chef. I'm Julia Child. You know, the egg can be your best friend if you just give it the right break. And I'm not talking just about breakfast eggs, but eggs for brunch, eggs for lunch, eggs for appetizers, for company, and eggs for elegance. Now take, for instance, l'œuf en cocotte, or eggs baked in little dishes like this, or little, these are called little ramekins. This is hollandaise sauce, lemony and rich and buttery. And all you need to do is just taste it, and you know it's homemade. Delicious. Welcome to The French Chef. I'm Julia Child. You could really call this chocolate mousse ambrosia. It's got such a lovely texture and flavor that it really brings tears to your eyes when you taste it. It's that good. And while you make it, you're going to learn several fine techniques, such as how to cook eggs in sugar until they make a thick and creamy mass. And this is one of those techniques you can use for French buttercream frostings and cake fillings. And also, you're going to master egg whites. That is the gateway to French soufflés and cakes. So you're not only learning a mousse, you're getting sort of a great bunch of marvelous techniques which will serve you well. That's my little pitch for you learning the mousse.
Learning the mousse. Don't you love the music, huh?
I love the whole thing. It just brings it back. I love hearing her voice, and she's so enthusiastic. You just want to, you feel like she's there next to you, kind of guiding you through these things. And you know, that she mixes the humor with the pedagogy. You know, it's so interesting listening to that chocolate mousse at the end where she says, you know, you're not just learning how to make a mousse. You're learning the techniques, and you're learning things that you can apply to other dishes. And that's sort of classic Julia, where she mixed humor with teaching in a very compelling way. And that's sort of her secret sauce.
She started in the era of black and white television, and she carried on. What inspired Julia Child to keep experimenting with her television presence?
You know, that if I had to pick one adjective to describe her, I'd say inquisitive. She was just constantly curious and constantly pushing. She said she wasn't ambitious and didn't have a grand plan. You know, with all due respect, she must have had some ambition because she was groundbreaking in so many realms. I mean, in the books she did, in the television she did, in the documentary films she made, and in the way she lived her life. So she was driven, but in a very kind of pleasant, not overbearing way. And she was just endlessly curious. And she liked being a celebrity, but she didn't take it that seriously. And she referred to herself not as a chef, but as a cook. And she referred to herself as an eternal pupil and a teacher of cookery, more than a celebrity.
How did she change the culinary landscape in North America?
In many ways. There were no books like the ones that she did at the time, which were French cookbooks for the American audience, laid out in a very logical way with exact measurements and step-by-step procedures, illustrated from the cook's perspective, not from sort of the third person, which is the standard of the day. And this was really aimed for people like herself, who were dedicated home cooks, who were adventurous and ambitious. In the television that she did, she just had so much fun. I mean, you just heard it on those clips that she was having a great time. But at the same time, she was extremely instructive and really knew her stuff. And so she kind of made things that were a bit complicated seem easy and seem approachable. And she really held the viewer's hand in a sense. You heard in the clip how she kept saying, oh, it's so delicious. And she was constantly tasting, and it made you want to cook, and it made you want to dive through the TV and eat that boeuf bourguignon or that tarte tatin, you know. And then she did documentary films, which, you know, people just simply weren't doing about food at that time. She, you know, anticipated a lot of what's happening now by decades. And so she was really a pioneer and a revolutionary.
She really actually even changed what grocery stores carried.
That's true. She exhorted her audience to demand, you know, fresh mushrooms and exotic vegetables like leeks, or, you know, herbs like tarragon and parsley, or tools like the garlic press or the later on, you know, the Cuisinart. When the audience did so, the retailers responded because they would sell out on all those things. You know, she wasn't the only one doing this. She wasn't solely responsible for the food revolution in North America in the 60s and 70s, but she was its leading voice. And I would argue she was the first celebrity TV chef. And so when she spoke, the medium was so powerful that it really resonated in the culture.
Did she realize the irony of how her work to preserve the French culture of eating was symbolically overturning the dinner table in North America?
I think she did. That's a great question. I call her the revolutionary in pearls because, you know, on the one hand, she was kind of a patrician woman, sort of traditional in certain ways, and certainly a defender of tradition in French cooking. And yet, in her personal life, she was a revolutionary. She was upending the shibboleths and the standards of the day. Let's remember what food was like in the early 60s when she first appeared on the scene, which was, you know, Jell-O and iceberg lettuce and
Velveeta
meals in
cheese.
A can. Yeah, I mean, this space-age horrible food. And all the advertising was about, well, let us take care of you, the little woman in the kitchen. You know, let's make it easy. You don't have to worry about this stuff. And Julia took the exact opposite approach. Her approach was, let me show you how to make a really great meal that requires some work and you get your hands dirty. And it just, people really responded to that as a reaction against all of that kind of commercial glop that were being fed.
Did she become rich as a result of her fame?
She did fine, but she was resolutely non-commercial. She never endorsed products or chefs or individual restaurants. She turned down million-dollar endorsement deals left and right. And so she certainly forsook a lot of money. She certainly wasn't like the modern celebrity chefs that, you know, are basically CEOs and celebrities
first.
With
a product line, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she collaborated on several cooking shows and books with her good friend, Chef Jacques Pepin. We reached him at his home in Connecticut to ask for some of his memories of her. Listen to him.
Julia was very happy and proud, as I am, to be on PBS those years because we don't really have to cow to the sponsor or endorse any product. I remember the time when we cooked and the sponsor was Kendall Jackson. And so the producer told me, what kind of wine are you going to serve? And I had plenty wine to choose with. In addition to that, we did consume a fair amount of wine during the show. So at the end, I asked her, you want a Cabernet or you want a Merlot? She said, I want beer. I said, well, what do you mean you want beer? We don't have. Yes, she had beer under the table. So yes, and she did actually the same thing with another sponsor that we have, which was Lando Lake. And Julia used more butter than anyone that I ever known in my life. And then one time we were doing I did a dough, and she said, well, I want to do one as well. And so I was measuring for her. I said, well, how much butter do you want? She said, I want Crisco. I said, what do you mean you want Crisco? We don't have any Crisco. Yes, she had Crisco under the table. So that was Julia.
Under the table, again, because she didn't want to endorse stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's classic Julia again. She sort of subverts people who try to control her. As Jacques told me, it was a don't tread on me message, but with a grin and a wink.
As you point out, she was the first television celebrity chef. So many have now followed. Some chefs do have a cult following on all their product lines. She was alive to see some of this change. What did she think?
I think she had mixed feelings, to be honest. You know, she saw cooking as a civilized art, as she put it, and she liked the camaraderie and the creativity of cooking. And today what you see is competition and soap opera melodrama, and I think she would have dismissed that out of hand as something that wasn't, you know, true or real. It's a manufactured product in a sense. On the other hand, these cooking shows that seem to happen 24/7 now have brought a huge audience to food, and I think she'd be really pleased to see how many people in North America, as she would say, are eating with gusto. It was one of her favorite foods. And, you know, going out more, buying cookware more. They're more informed about wine and ingredients, and the conversation is really engaged. So I think she would have mixed feelings. You know, on the one hand, a little bit disappointed by the razzle-dazzled. On the other hand, encouraged by the widening of the conversation.
She'd be proud of some of them, too, huh? Because she mentored some of the today's
yeah,
celebrity
in
chefs.
Fact, one of the guys I interviewed for this book is Emeril Lagasse, who she mentored. And he, to this day, credits her with getting him on television, inspiring him as a kid, pushing him, including him. He's kind of the linchpin between Julia's era of cooking on television and the modern sort of CEO celebrity era. He's the guy who's the transition figure there.
And there are others, too. Lydia Bastianich, Sarah Moulton.
Yeah, right. They're, you know, and especially as women chefs, they were very much influenced by Julia's model. I just saw Lydia the other day in Toronto, as a matter of fact. And, you know, Julia got her on one of her programs in the 1990s. It was the first time, I believe, that Lydia was on TV, and they won an Emmy for that that particular episode. And now look at Lydia. She's got her own little empire going. Same with Sarah Moulton, who Julia mentored.
Now, you know, we are talking about her, too, in the context of disruptors. And most people who are disruptors face some resistance. What challenges did she face?
Well, in the 70s, Julia separated herself from her old persona, which was the French chef, and cooking just classical French cuisine. And she reinvented herself. She re-Americanized herself. She began to write in the first person as Julia Child. And she developed a really kind of distinctive voice, the one that we came to know on television. And she was able to transfer that to the page. And it was not easy for her, but she did it. And then she started to use this voice rather loudly and aggressively. And she, you know, would champion Planned Parenthood and left-leaning Democratic politics. She would dismiss things like Nouvelle Cuisine as not being as healthy or revolutionary as its promoters declared. She questioned vegetarianism and nutritionists. And all of these things kind of stirred the pot, which she loved to do in her kind of mischievous way, and gained her huge following, but also some enemies, amazingly, some of which were within the ranks of fellow cooks. There were the Hesses, a couple that wrote for the New York Times, who said that Julia was not a chef, though she played one on television. And Madeleine Kamen, a woman who was French-born and Massachusetts-based, who taught cookery, who said that Julia was neither French nor a chef, and that she, Madeleine, was, and therefore she should be known as the French chef. So Julia kind of took these criticisms in stride and was careful not to respond in public. But in private, I found a letter where she's saying about Madeleine Kamen, or she who will not be named, that she'd like to take Madeleine by the short hairs and grind her up in the Cuisinart piece by piece.
Whoa.
So she was annoyed in private.
Okay, but so that scary knife, those big knives, you should be careful.
The fright knife, yes, exactly.
Interesting. We heard earlier the National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. has her kitchen as a display. It's very popular to this day. We wanted to hear what some of the visitors had to say about it. Listen.
I am fascinated by these bajillions of things over here.
Oh, it's fascinating because I've always loved her. The first book that I got of hers was The Art of French Cooking, and I made dishes out of it.
Every Thanksgiving, I use her recipe for cream mushrooms that his grandmother used to make.
Julia gave us the recipe.
There's a lot of stuff in here. I mean, gosh, the meals that must have been made in this kitchen. It's impressive.
This is cool.
Her arrangement of her pans, because she actually drew drawings around what she was doing, and the fact that you could just have a sense that she was very organized.
So when I come here, I think about sitting in front of the PBS television show watching The French Chef with my mother and learning how to cook with my mother through Julia Child.
I always think of, like, a little bit more wine for me, a little bit of wine for the dressing.
But this is exciting for me, being a cook, to just see this. It is a part of our history in the whole cooking culture that she started. She was at the forefront.
She was an icon. She really was.
Alex Pridham, what are you thinking as you listen to that?
Oh, I love it. You know,
well,
that
they love
kitchen,
her, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, that kitchen display was meant to be a temporary exhibit and proved so popular that it's now fairly well enshrined in the National Museum of American History. And it's wonderful to see, you know, you see people there of all ages, races, creeds. They kind of think they're going to pass through and they just get stuck there. And it's remarkable. I've seen it happen many times. And it's a combination of the kitchen itself is quite interesting. The displays and the cabinets of, you know, her giant rolling pins and her mortar and pestle. which looks like it belonged to a caveman, and the wine that she used on the show, which was called Chateau Gravy Master. It was actually gravy master mixed with water to look like wine. And then there's a video loop of some of the old shows, like some of the moments you were just playing, and it's just kind of irresistible. And now that kitchen is the entry point to a whole new American History of Food hall. They've done a wonderful job with it.
So when people find out your connection to her, how do they react to you?
When I first started to promote the memoir, My Life in France, was people would come up and give me a big hug, and some of them would start to burst into tears. Because it turned out that Julia had really changed their lives. And I wasn't ready for that at first. And after the fifth or sixth time, I thought, oh, okay, this is a thing. I'm going to have to get used to it. More often, they just want to know all about her because she was such a genuine person on television. And they felt as if they knew her. And people invariably refer to her simply as Julia, as if she's a personal friend, even though they had never met her.
It's also incredible to me that Julia Child achieved all this success. She was starting in late 40s, early 50s. She was aging on television. This is not a small thing, woman on TV, like in her 60s and then 70s. And like how old was she when the show ended?
She stopped performing as the French Chef in 1971, but she went on to do many other shows. And she was working right up till almost till her death in 2004. When she was just shy of her 92nd birthday. So she was amazing in the way that she performed as an older woman on television. And she was aware of her the visual. So she did get facelifts, at least three of them that I know of. And she was careful to occasionally diet, even though she hated to diet.
What about all that butter?
I know. Well,
of course, we now know butter's good for you. Butter
exactly.
was never supposed to be off the menu.
Yet another example of Julia being ahead of the curve.
This is true. Well, for you, what is her most important legacy?
Well, it comes down to this optimistic worldview that she has. She would encourage people to be adventurous in their cooking, you know, take risks. Don't worry about failing. And if you do fail, never apologize. But above all, have fun. That was her message. And she applied this very optimistic worldview to cooking, but one could really apply it to anything in life. And I think people just found that empowering.
I have to tell you, I am so hungry right now.
Time for some boeuf bourguignon.
Or maybe some baguette and butter. Anyway.
Sure.
Thank you so much. It's great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Merci and bon appétit.
Alex Prudhomme, grandnephew of Julia Child and author of French Chef in America. He joined us from New York City. Joined us from New York City. Joined us from New York City. Joined us from New York City.